You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the Big Suey, a podcast exclusive.
Risky move.
Just when you thought the show could not be more diluted.
Walk the plank.
Bam.
No more free Disney trips.
Now here's the marching band of nowhere.
Arr, matey.
Fat face.
Dan's been stress eating.
And the habitual liar.
Stugatz can't be trusted.
The Big Suey.
Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate radio life for me.
The Nets, this is an interesting point that Amin ends up bringing up, though.
The Nets are the best team in the NBA.
Okay, slow down. We'll get to you in a second. That's why I was segueing. I was actually just taking the radio show gently from what we were doing.
Little handsy.
To be able to toss the Nets question to you so that you could play, because I have felt you get boxed out over the last 10 minutes. I specifically, if you want the real inner workings of this show, was taking the segue and bringing the ball around to throw it to you, and you decide, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to steal it from my teammate. Right. I'm going to get a steal here from someone who's throwing it to me. The thing that Amin brings up that is interesting is, no matter what happens with anyone outside of a Bradley Beal type player, the Nets are better than you. The Nets are beating all the good teams in the league. The Nets don't play any defense at all, but they're outscoring people. They score in a way that, as of recently, was unprecedented in terms of offensive rating in the league. They're fun to watch. They're villainous. They're trolls. They're also better than the Miami Heat, and I don't believe, unless the Miami Heat gets someone like Bradley Beal, that they can be in that conversation with that team. That team, come playoff time, is going to have three places it can go get baskets. Amin, you're not with me on this? You think defense wins in the postseason, and you got to trust that a defense that bad never wins in the postseason?
That, and also, we've always thought, look, Miami wasn't the most talented team last year. They were simply a team that, I said, that relied on depth and execution, right? And so those two things are going to take them a long way. When I say I don't see a deal that's going to miraculously improve their chances this year outside of a Bradley Beal type, I'm not saying they're doomed. I'm just saying that in order for them to have success, it's going to be based on depth and execution and not because they're going to out-talent anybody. At the same time, Brooklyn, whose defense has been terrible, but they've gotten better. If you watched them during this West Coast trip, they've gotten stops in the fourth quarter. They play defense well. But that still is going to be a factor for them. One of the interesting thing about when you watch the Nets is when they've got two out of three of the guys available, it allows them to play defensive players for the other three guys. When you got three guys out there available, Then the other two guys are defensive kind of specialists, and that's not enough to mask what the three guys are doing, the big three are doing defensively. So I don't have the Nets going like carte blanche to the finals. I thought it was interesting that Danny Ainge this last week said that the Celtics don't have a championship roster, which you never hear a GM of a team say.
I mean, with the Celtics, you're right. It's interesting because with Durant out, they give up 98 to the Lakers, 108 to the Clippers, which is actually good for the Nets team. But you guys tend to overthink this stuff a little bit too much. The Nets have the three best. Their three is better than anyone else's three. And when they sit Kevin Durant and they can come out there with James Harden and Kyrie Irving, or if they sit Harden, it's Durant and Irving, or sometimes they get all three, it doesn't matter, okay? I don't care that they don't play defense. They'll figure out the defense once we get to the postseason. But no one, and I mean no one in the NBA, is beating that team. Nobody. I'm talking Western Conference, Eastern Conference, LeBron with a healthy Anthony Davis. No one's beating that team, Amin.
Okay,
nobody.
The defense, again, we will say it again, no team in the history of the league that has played defense that poorly has ever won the championship. But to his point, and this is an interesting point, I think, Amin, because David Locke put this on Twitter, we haven't actually seen what the Nets look like with all three guys out there very much. It's something we've seen very little this season. But here are the numbers from David Locke. When Kyrie Durant and Harden are on the floor together, their offensive rating is 126, which is ridiculous. Harden and Kyrie out there, no Durant, it's 125. Harden and Durant, no Kyrie, it's 128. Kyrie and Durant, no Harden, it's 120, which again is the lowest we're seeing here, but is ridiculous. Kyrie without Durant or Harden is 132. Durant without Kyrie or Harden is 127. Harden without Durant or Kyrie is 116. I'm ready to call it. I mean, this is the greatest offensive team ever. Like, even with a guy missing, this is the greatest offensive collection of talent we've ever seen together.
Yes, and they also allowed the Cleveland Cavaliers to put 140 on them and couldn't guard Colin Sexton.
I mean, they care about the Cavs. Sexton. I mean, come on.
Big sexy.
Yeah.
Big donkey.
The C's.
The Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Keeping things bottled up can feel like carrying a weight that gets heavier with time. Whether it's talking to a trusted friend, journaling, or seeking professional help, finding ways to let out your thoughts and feelings can bring relief and help you navigate challenges more effectively. Remember, it's okay to reach out for help when you need it. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DLB today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DLB.
I want to continue this Nets conversation with you guys, but something that I want to ask of everyone in the Zoom and just the audience that's riding with us right now in general. And I ask with genuine curiosity, I hope this doesn't come across as defensive or insecure or hateful. I'm just curious what's happening inside of the people who are complaining about the present incarnation of the show. And I'm just genuinely curious, as Amin gets up at God knows what hour on the West Coast, and we are, again, not paying Amin to do this, and he's spending the morning with us because we all enjoy doing this, whether we're being paid or not, but people aren't being paid to do this, and I'm just genuinely curious, what do you imagine is happening with the people who are complaining about we're not doing enough shows or we're being lazy or whatever it is that the complaint is? What do you think's happening there?
Before I get to that, I did enjoy it more when I was getting paid, I have to be honest with you. What's happening there is the people, we have set the bar, I think, really high. That we work hard, 5 days a show, five shows a week. That's what we deliver on a weekly basis. Did I just say 5 days a show? Holy dementia is kicking in.
Well, we're working.
Stupidity!
We're working so much that Stugatz is a little delirious, and you may have noticed a bit of a dilution or a suffering in his work here. Don't spit at them, okay? Please, don't spit at the audience. I don't want to be defensive about this. I'm just genuinely curious. Like, if we give it to you in this form, which is us coming in, not being paid by anybody to keep it afloat, in a move that hasn't been ever done before by anybody in this position, where we're just sort of guerrilla doing this stuff, I'm just genuinely curious what's happening inside the person who would say, you know what? And not good enough. You should be doing it better, and you should be doing it more, even though you're doing it for free. Do it more for free. Do it. Have it cost you more money. And I'm like, how much more money do you want it to cost me? Have it cost you more money.
Right. I was actually going to defend the audience, saying it's really on us, Dan. We have been there 5 days a week for 20 years, and they have an expectation, and they want their 5 days a week. They want more content, even though we're doing this for free right now. It's what they've come to expect. It's what they want, and we're coming in here 3 days a week to do it, and they're saying, hey, what's the problem with doing the other two? The problem is I'm not getting paid. That's the problem. I mean,
Dan, you've sat right across from this man right here for 15 years, and all he's ever done is say, do it better, do it more, do it in the playoffs. And now you're surprised that the audience of 15 years is spitting this back to you. Sir, the chickens have come home to roost.
That's right. You're so right. I mean, just during the break, I want to tell the audience what just happened here while we were in break. Stugatz apologized to me about it. It's something he's apologized for about 20 years about, and it doesn't mean anything, these apologies. They're totally empty. It'll keep happening. It's happening 20 years in. We got a million things going on around here. Mike just asked us all to meditate as a group because of what was spinning out of control in the last 3 minutes around here before we turned on the microphones. You, right before we started back on here, apropos of no conversation anyone was having with anyone, yeah. It was a blessed moment of silence. I just felt the heat coming over my computer screen from Stugatz's breath of coffee and heaters. And what he was doing is just excoriating Zion Williamson. Just killing him. Win a game, win more games. And I'm like, after he blowtorched my eyebrows for 90 seconds, ripping Zion Williamson.
I mean, Mike said to meditate.
And I just looked up at him and said, you do realize that they had the biggest comeback in franchise history yesterday, and Zion scored 4 points in the first half, and then he led them back. Why are you giving me this take now?
He was just trying to get centered, Dan.
Yeah.
Is that all it was? That is how Stugatz meditates? Yes. Actually, you know what? You're so right about this. I do believe that the way Stugatz meditates, that his mantra is Zion Williamson is overrated.
Zion Williamson.
It's overrated.
It's headspace, Dan. If I get that out of my head, it creates more space in my head to have other thoughts. I mean, that's what it is. Losing record, supposed to be the next LeBron James.
All right, let's go down this path then, because this is what it was. This is actually what was happening. My eyebrows are scorched. I am not having balance in my life.
Got Evan Gentry fired, and now is moving on to Stan Zion Williams.
Wait a minute. You made it some sort of bluesy song at the end instead of a mantra.
I did do
that. I don't
that.
Know what yes. you're doing there. You don't
I
know.
Feel like you have to hum at the end of a good meditation.
Stugatz has no shot at meditation. He's actually talked about it over. There's just no shot. I can imagine Stugatz getting in a meditative pose after the epidurals, getting into the position of the yogi master, and then the next thing you know, just wondering, how do I take Craig Carton's job? But what do I need to do in order to be on with Ernie and Charlie?
I mean, I try it. I try it all the time. And then I see a bird.
True story. This happened, and I was mortified the other day. Simply mortified. And it was genuine. Mike, you were here. You recoiled the same way that I did. Stugatz, no matter how disgusting you think he is, he's worse than that. So I don't know what machinations were put in place so we would end up on the Ernie and Charles Steam Room podcast, but it was a total Stugatz joint, okay? From beginning to end, and next thing I know, we're on it. And I don't know if Stugatz sort of parlayed Ernie and Charlie wanting to have me on without Stugatz into Stugatz being on there as well, but it felt like it a little bit.
You call Barkley Charlie, huh?
Yeah. That's weird. Charlie Barkley. It'd be a whole different thing, right?
Charlie.
Again, though, this is something that happened, and where I got stuck is the Ernie. Instead of Ern, it's Ernie, and Charles and Charlie, and I'm not totally sure that what I just experienced is accurate, because Mike was here, and I don't know what happened with my beloved Charlie and Ernie, but 20 minutes into that podcast, Stugatz was absolutely out loud angling to get on their show and do gambling picks with Shaq and Ernie. It was mortifying to me, jarring, and Ernie Johnson just shrugs his shoulders, and he's like, would you expect anything less from him, Dan? Right. Like that, of course that's what he did.
Well, how does he know me so well and you don't? I mean,
Mike, how did you feel about that as it happened? Because I recoiled. I felt a film move through me, through my soul. I was a bit disgusted by what had happened, and it's hard to disgust me because I've been married to this creature for 20 years.
It's hard for him to get me embarrassed because I'm just so used to it, but doing it in front of Ernie Johnson, and Charles is used to like everyone coming around him wanting something from
Charlie,
Charles,
as I like to call him.
But just to like ask Ernie Johnson and producers of that show, you know what, he wasn't even asking, he was positioning it as, you know, would be a great idea, me ruining the greatest studio show in the history of sports by giving gambling picks, which is not at all something that you do. And when they even mentioned, hey, why don't you try it with Lefko, he had no interest in going on the Tuesday night show.
He turned down their offer. He turned down Ernie Johnson's offer to do it with Lefko. That happened.
Aim high. No. In Stugatz's defense, who does Ernie Johnson think he is? Stugatz had to go on and host his podcast one time or be a guest his podcast one time. This is the second time he's a guest on his podcast. I mean, how many things does Stugatz have to do for Ernie Johnson before Ernie Johnson scratches Stugatz's back, Jack?
Exactly. You know, he started this, you know, university online. I was a professor.
Where did you get that idea from, by the way?
Exactly. I did a two-hour session for EJ, and I got nothing. So I figured I'd ask him for something, my friend Ernest.
He went right up to the top of the ladder on Charlie and Ernest, too. He really did. He went right to the top. He's like, put me on that show. You guys throw it to me, and then I'll be more entertaining than the most entertaining studio show that there's ever been. And then I'll let you guys have it back.
I'm on Basketball Reference, which does a great job of tabulating all the nicknames that players have. I'm Charles Barkley's page. I don't see Charlie. These are the names I do see. Sir Charles, the round mound of rebound, the Chuckster, the Chuck Wagon, the Prince of Pizza, the Incredible Bulk, the Leaning Tower of Pizza, Bread Tuck, Boy Gorge, Love Boat, Food World, the Crisco Kid, Wide Load from Leeds, Ton of Fun, Good Time Blimp, but no Charlie.
Okay, I thought I had expressed with vulnerability the honesty behind the curtain there. That was a verbal mistake that I made. I do not call him Charlie. It was linked to me saying Ernie and try to gather myself as I tried to recount the story. And I wasn't totally sure if I experienced that moment with Stugatz on that podcast the same way he did. So we hadn't talked about it. We hadn't talked about what I thought was disgust that swept through Mike and me at the same time as we were legitimately mortified, but I wasn't sure I had that right. And so I was bringing it out on air. And so I was insecure and I called him Charlie. I don't call him Charlie in private in the bedroom when I call him shirtless on FaceTime.
Well, I appreciate you doing that, though, because then I would have never heard Boy Gorge.
Boy Gorge is a good nickname.
Listen, I do a little thing off to the side called Stupidity. And on Stupidity, I had Tim Kiley on, the executive producer of the TNT pregame show, who steals a lot of ideas from us and admits to stealing a lot of ideas from us. And I steal a lot of ideas from him. Okay. And I pitched this to Kiley, and he thought it would be better if me and you pitched it to EJ and Barkley together. I thought you were in on that. Clearly, you were not. I mean, thanks for the help.
Absolutely not a single truth in there.
Well,
not
Kiley, Kiley was on Stupidity.
Okay, there you go. There's that. But it was an unbelievable tapestry of lies that ensued.
Can you prove it?
I've been listening to Stupidity a lot lately, so much so that I've seized on some tics And I want to welcome in Roy Bellamy, who I gave a mountain of a project to over the weekend. Roy, this project, without getting into detail, just the end result seems like it could kill a lesser man. How are you feeling after I gave you this project?
Well, it took me about 7 hours to fulfill your request.
Oh, I'm sorry, Roy. Man, I'm so sorry.
Here was the request. I've been listening to Supodity, and I seize on your over-laughing.
All the time.
And your listen tick, which has been well-chronicled here lately.
Yeah.
Most of the sentences and statements start off with you saying, listen.
Yes.
And then you go on to your point. That's your tick. So I asked Roy just to go back through the last three episodes of Supodity and simply isolate the laughs and the listens and make me a supercut of those last three episodes. He did so, and the file is 36 minutes long.
Oh, no.
The file is 36 minutes of laughing and listens.
All right, let's hear that? How about just that? The Big Suey is that. Let's just do that. Let's have the next 36 minutes just being a dump cut of all Stugatz's awful fake laughter.
You're welcome.
Oh, you're welcome.
Oh, you're the best.
this is a nightmare. This is a haunting nightmare. This is just 3 weeks.
Only 35 minutes to go, Dan.
This is just 3 weeks.
My apologies.
Oh, no. Roy, I'm so sorry. Your entire weekend, you were just searching this out?
You're welcome.
Roy, I'm so sorry. That's how you spent your weekend? What is the end result of this project?
This.
Right. Right. Oh, yes, I did.
This is disturbing me. This is now haunting me. This feels like something out of a The Shining movie.
Dwight Fritty is not this funny. Right?
This is the over-laughing that happens around celebrities.
We can just have it play underneath us as we try to do show.
Oh, I like the idea of it being 35 minutes.
No, I like Mike's idea better. Yes, just fade it down slightly and let's see if it'll interrupt us. There was one point where we thought we needed a file and could see if we could replace Stugatz with just his taped laughter on days that he wasn't here. And do you remember that? We had those conversations. Those were conversations that were had. Were we going to do that at ESPN? Did we do it once? Did we do Stugatz's fake laughter? Stugatz wasn't even there and it was just, listen, right? The thing I wanted to get into with you, though, I mean, that we were talking about earlier as it regards the Nets, this is going to be hard to do if it's that loud. And I can't do that. Like, I'd like to do some show here, but it's going to be a little hard if this is going to be that loud. Do you want it haunting and creepy in the background the rest of the way? Get the sound on this right, please.
Please program our show. We don't get. Listen, I am telling you right now, you guys have been programming our shows in ways that you just don't know about, okay?
Who did you say that to?
This makes me uncomfortable. All right.
No idea.
The Nets, I mean, one of the things that I have found interesting.
I'm staying at ESPN.
He said that to Dan Patrick.
Six months.
DP.
6 weeks.
Over the last decade, I think we should reduce Stugatz at some point into a TikTok so small that it just does DP nicknames and stuff and is an action figure and asks to be paid $7 million a year.
A little light.
Just does DP, huh?
Careful, Amin.
The Nets, Amin, when I look at what's happened over the last decade that is so much fun to this sport, because it's been a hugely interesting decade of basketball that you have seen go from LeBron James to Kevin Durant to super teams to Dwayne Wade to Steph Curry and Klay Thompson to now in the weirdly distorted, bizarro, evil end of that decade-long drip. You've got these three guys with the Nets.
I can't do it, man.
I can't do the show this way.
Should we just put out an entire hour of the show that's this?
That's what I think.
Yeah.
I think just stop here and look, if you want to ride it, if you want to ride it the rest of the way without us, we think it'll haunt you and you'll have trouble sleeping tonight. But we're going to just ride the rest of this out without you. Yes, Billy.
How about this? Why don't you guys start over and say you have a stat of the day? Stugatz fake laughs for 37 minutes in all of his combined two bodies, and you play the long stat of the day, leading into 37 minutes of laughing.
Oh, my God, we're done.
What do you think, Mike? Is that what we're going to do now? I think the audience at that point will actively hate us.
They want more episodes, Dan.
No, if we get
bonus episodes.
No, but imagine if we were to get done with the show here in just a couple of hours because we just played Stugatz laughing in the long stat of the day. In a segment that started with me talking about the fact that they're already complaining that we're not doing this free enough for them.
11 million downloads.
I have no doubts.
You're right. All right, Mike, go ahead and figure it out. Play the long stat of the day, and then right after that, 30 straight minutes of Stugatz's haunting laughter without it.
Nudist colony, yes. Yes. You noticed.
I mean... I like the ad libs better in the team.
John Goodman does.
Yes, the random. Yes, I like the randomness of what were they talking about? Of course, John Goodman is what they were talking about. Something related to John Goodman. And then Dwight Freeney laughed, and then Stugatz laughed, and then he was golfing with Amon Rashad.
It's always a little laugh, some filler, and then a much bigger laugh.
Hey, Charles, Ernie, can I be on your show? I've been doing Fruit for Levitar for 20 years. Let me go on there, and I'll just overlaugh.
All we have is time right now. That's all we have. I don't even have rejoins or a bumper anymore.
I think we should get to the point where these are Stugatz stupidities, where we are ruining. We sent Roy into a sanatorium because every weekend we're actively torturing Roy by sending him into this pit, and then just being stupidity is going to be this random mentions of just these random things. And also John Goodman.
Producers. Well, listen.
I've never been more terrified of Roy in my life. He sat there and listened to this, and now it's just acting normal, sitting here as a sane human being. Impossible. We're all about to be murdered.
Roy, take us through this, seriously, because this is an unholy assignment you were given. Mike, you didn't know the assignment you were given him. You just told him, go through three episodes of Stupat, just three episodes, and get me a couple of things.
Yeah, I thought this would be maybe a 12-minute supercut that we'd all enjoy. 36 minutes.
Roy,
this is how it happened. So I originally asked for the actual full show. And then like 3 hours in, I was like, okay, this is a little bit too much. Maybe I should get the Stugatz only files. So I asked Mikey A to send those to me. That was a lot easier, but it was still a pain.
Oh, that's right, because I'm recording myself at home and then sending it to Mikey A. Damn.
Yeah, but see, it's the thing that I keep saying, the word I keep using, and you guys correct me, please, if you have a better one, anybody.
That's not
haunting. Haunting. That is haunting. It's going to be slithering through my bed tonight when I can't sleep.
Asking for more money.
It is. Hey, Dan, I need a raise.
Okay.
Hey, Dan, t-shirt royalty's kind of light.
I mean, I don't know. That is a dangerous game. You're right.
Mike, I can't do this to the audience for 30 minutes. It's not fair. We can't do it. We can't. We can't.
We can.
It's no. It's it. It we. Even though it's free, even though it's totally free, and they're already accusing us of being lazy when we don't do this, I would like to sort of throw 40 taped minutes of haunting at them to just say, you know what? Here, this is what it sounds like when we do a show and you complain that our lives aren't quite at risk enough. Amin has kids, man. He's not being paid. He just threw his contract up in the air at the worldwide leader in sports. It's
Chris
not
Cody,
enough, Amin.
All right, but listen, I want to tell you guys, listen to me, okay?
Mike, this is what I think we should do, okay? This is what we're going to do. At some point, because the listener will stay with us if we go through these choppy waters with them giving commentary. But I don't think we should let them know when we're leaving. I think we should just be quiet for 10-minute stretches, just being here. God. But not doing the show, but not being actively lazy as well. And you'll never know when we're contributing to something, but you'll never know when you're going to go 30 minutes without it.
That's how you build up TSL.
So we'll just keep coming in and out of this and doing show.
I love it.
I like Stu Gatz laughing at his own laughs. My mind might blow up like that scene in Scanners, though.
It's got to be annoying already. This is not good show, correct?
Oh, it's great.
Clap. Oh, he threw in a clap. He threw in a clap.
That's been really funny.
This is vulnerable. This is a good example of how Stu Gatz stuff bounces off of him and he can
Why?
Be just this kind of shameless. He is listening to it and he is not feeling shame here, and I am wincing every time, but this is a totally exposed, vulnerable place we're putting him in. All of us would sound terrible if you only heard what we said into our mics with no context. Like, this is the worst, least flattering look you could hit Stu Gatz with. Like, it's like hitting him in the face with a fish.
Don't give away my next project.
But what is this going to be?
Wait,
what's
Brady, when you saw David Carr on the schedule, did you even sleep the night before? what happened?
What if we played this from two computers at the same time and it's Stu Gatz over Stu Gatz?
Yes,
over
in
Stu
fact,
Gatz.
Can you all put it on your computers at some point? I think we should go in and out of this. Let's just take this ride together and the listener will never know when we're here and when we're not, as we just actively send our listeners to the insane asylum.
This is bad radio.
Wow.
Oh, Jesus.
Roy, are you okay? I say this sincerely because spending 7 hours in this space, like, you didn't sleep well that night, did you?
Yes.
No. A raise would be nice, though.
A raise? That's doable.
They also know you have access to Peyton Manning. It's
I made a second version of this, by the way, with context.
Listen.
So there's a second version of this that
there's
was made?
One with context with guests, but I'm enjoying the one without context.
Yeah,
a little
much
bit more
better.
I like trying to guess. The John Goodman one really threw me.
The randomness. There's some comedy nuggets sprinkled in here between the listens and the laughter.
Great promotion for my podcast.
Stupidity. Yes. I mean, the thing that I did want to ask you about as it regards the Nets, though, as the distorted, diluted version of these super teams is now this one, which is famously in Brooklyn now. It's the team of the city. It must be a hot thing. If it weren't a pandemic, I can't even imagine what a zoo it would be around this team right now. And they've got to be, they have to be, the most interesting team going in sports right now. And I love personality-driven teams. I love teams, even though this is the rare personality, Stugatz. Interesting because you know they're going to be excellent. Interesting because you know they're going to be a little bit vexing. Interesting because you know that they are trolls. The three of them. The three of them. Like Kyrie Irving, nobody trusts him. He's flat-earthed his way into being like a true certified weirdo. Some of you like him, some of you don't. He's popular. He's unpopular. Hugely interesting, period. Whether you're annoyed by him or not. James Harden just apologized for making an unholy mess out of the entire Houston situation with 3 years left on his contract. And Kevin Durant, who is a social media age star for our time as a Twitter egg, lurking in your comments because he wants to hear every last thing that you say about him. And we're in a space with basketball where you have this happening, Stugatz. And I do think it's interesting. Dragonfly Jones posited this over the weekend. He's doing something with Colin Cowherd now that you should check out because he's a talented guy and he's had a voice that he's found. You should support his story. It's a pretty good one. But he was talking about old head commentators.
Listen, Dwight, it's all we have, Sims, man. 40 years, it's all I got, man. Sims laughing at it.
Thanks for reminding us. That's okay. Listen, because I maintain, like, eventually they're going to get lucky and win. And it's going to feel really good, you know? All the heartache, right?
So, Billy, you've got a giant smile on your face. How do I do the show this way? You want to help? You want to help me figure out how to do the show this way? Because I can't do it this way with Stugatz over laughing on me while trying to do show and trying to balance what the audience needs with the audience's complaints.
It's probably not a great way to do the show. I'm just imagining Roy's head, though, while he's listening to this and putting it together and like 6 hours into this project. I only imagine that it's like one of those fun houses of mirrors where he's like bumping into things and everywhere he goes, it's just Stugatz bumping into him.
Mike, can you rewind that one right there? Do you have the ability to just rewind slightly? Well, no, there was one back there right there that just came into the show, piercing and haunting in ways that are making me deeply uncomfortable.
Yeah, give me a second because I'm playing two at the same time right now.
All right.
That game stinks.
Have you ever wondered if Chet Holmgren might be a descendant of Abraham Lincoln, or if a UFC fighter could beat an alien in a fight? You might have not, and that's okay. I probably have thought about the UFC one, to be honest. But Shea Serrano and Jason Concepcion from the Six Trophies podcast have. If you love basketball, and more importantly, if you love fun, you got to listen to Six Trophies, where Jason and Shea serve up the biggest moments from all around the NBA with their brand of unbridled joy, banter, and pop culture side quests. Each week, they hand out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities. Stuff like the Denzel Washington and Training Day trophy given out to the player or team having the best week around the NBA. Or the Lauryn Hill you might win some, but you just lost one trophy for the team or player that just can't get it together. Plus a bunch more trophies for all the good, bad, or just plain head scratching moments from all around the NBA. This playoff season, you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Where are we? Show was.
Is this,
where the f*** are we?
Holy is this Stugatz now, or is that a recording?
Some things are happening.
We're back into normal space. That was like a ketamine experience. That was a psychedelic experience for you.
I drank out of the wrong bottle of water. I'm very concerned. I don't know what to do.
That's been there all weekend.
No, this is the one I brought with me to work. There's another one in the garbage that I threw in the garbage after I drank it. I'm not certain if it was mine, if someone was in here over the weekend. I'm very concerned now.
I think it's yours, but let's just retreat to what it is that happened here. You've been eating very unhealthy.
I need cookies, mine too.
You're eating chocolate chip cookies for breakfast.
Tough run right now.
But I mean, I actually think it's an interesting basketball conversation, what it is that's happening with the Nets. And Dragonfly Jones was saying that, and this is a conversation that's happening all over social media, where old head commentators like Barkley and Shaq, it feels sometimes like they hate the NBA. They hate its evolutions, that they don't love the game. And Dragonfly Jones is pointing out that there's a whole new subset of people like you, Amin, and the Haberstrohs and those guys, that there are a bunch of young people that are annoying because they feel like they have an intellectually superior understanding of the game than you do. This was all around the Anthony Edwards conversation of the weekend, where there's this just amazing dunk. It's just flabbergasting and amazing, and you're like, whoa, that's one of the best dunks I've ever seen. And then people felt the need to say, oh, 3 for 14, 7 points. The Timberwolves lost again. They're terrible, and they scored 81 points in the game. And so it's this tension between, hey, how about you just enjoy this and stop analyzing it? Just enjoy it. And then Kevin Durant says, just flatly like this, who the fuck wants to look at graphs when having a hoops conversation? So that's with the Nets as well. You've got those three guys, Kevin Durant, you've got James Harden, you've got Kyrie Irving. Name me a close second place on most interesting team going right now.
Oh, always the Lakers. Always the Lakers, because anything LeBron does is interesting. And then in third place, I submit to you Stugatz's New York Knicks. Because when was the last time the Knicks were so good? They got the other guy fired. How about that? Ryan Saunders gets let go because he lost to the Knicks. And by the way, Gershon Rosas, how the hell do you hire an assistant on another team who was coaching that night? When was the interview for that? How'd they do that in the middle of Black History Month, no less? It's a lot of interesting things going on, Dan. It's not just the Nets.
Okay, so I've got it wrong, you're telling me. You think you're sitting here, put it on the poll then, at Lebatard Show, Guillermo, just so you can see what a showstopper Amin El-Hassan is. Who's been more interesting this year, the Nets or the Knicks? Thank you for derailing the conversation, Amin. I'm sitting here talking about the specifics of the most interesting team in sports, and you're like, Knicks, let's talk about the Knicks, and you won't even entertain the question I'm asking you.
Here's the deal. Yes, they're entertaining. Yes, you're right. Those three guys are characters who are extremely polarizing. And I don't know if you saw, Kyrie Irving had this long post about how we don't praise God enough because, of course, you know, things done in the name of God are at an all-time low right now in the world, apparently, according to Kyrie Irving. Yeah. But that's low-hanging fruit, Dan. That's low-hanging fruit. You go to the Nets, that's when you don't have anything else. You just turn on the Nets, like, they'll give us something. You say the Knicks. Now we're talking. You know, Stugatz, I owe you an apology.
Thank you.
A month and a half ago, I said, this is the time to celebrate it. It's never going to get any better. It's going to fall apart. Stugatz hasn't fallen apart. In fact, it's picked up steam.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right. Here come the Knicks. Here come the old Knickerbockers. How about my man Tom Thibodeau exacting revenge against the franchise that cast him aside? How's that for interesting, Dan? You want to talk about Kyrie? Oh, Kyrie. Done there. I want to say been there, done that. And I said done there.
Well, you are very pleased with yourself right now, and you shouldn't be. Okay, I need to explain this to the audience.
Well, you asked for a close second.
Because
more interesting.
I mean, we're paying you too much right now for that as a contribution. I just wanted stated publicly. I'm not this again, Mike. You can't do this again.
It helps everything.
You can't. No, it doesn't help anything.
I like to just trick people as to when Sugats is actually laughing.
No, I can't live this way.
Theater of the mind.
Yes. That's all right.
I like his answers, the Knicks. I can't do it, but I'm talking and I'm laughing. Okay, whatever.
That was good.
Amin, what you just did to the show is unfair and unreasonable. I'm talking about...
It's his answer, man.
Okay, I understand it's his answer. He's allowed to have his answer, but I'm asking him a different question. The game can't be... I'm talking to him about the Nets, and he does come with what he says is a close second place, but his selection is just truly awful. It's just an awful selection. Hey, it was like shaking jazz hands at me and going, ha-ha, how about Tom Thibodeau? He's interesting, right? No one has ever thought that of Tom Thibodeau. He's just going NBA nerd timeline on us, and the Nets are beating every good team in the league. You've seen this, correct? Like the Nets, in whatever incarnation they're in, they're beating all the good teams.
Now, listen. My problem with all of this analysis, and listen, everyone's putting him in the Hall of Fame and calling him the greatest of all time. And listen, the kid's great. Is that your Vita Vea voice right there? Is that what you were doing?
Yeah. The Nets are 6-1 versus the Lakers, Clippers, Jazz, Bucks, Sixers this season. 12-2 versus the top 14 teams, according to StatMuse.
Listen, you might not like Antonio Brown. You might think that Antonio Brown has no business playing in the NFL.
Wait a minute. There's no context for that. That doesn't make any sense. What just happened there?
I don't know.
Where are we? Overlapping like this can't be safe in a tight quartered COVID room.